An airline captain dies on a Qatar Airways flight. SWAPA and Southwest have a deal. And French unions resort to sabotage. This is Aeronews. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this Aerocast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, October 18th, 2010. The captain of a Qatar Airways flight died last Wednesday during a flight from the Philippines to the Qatari capital of Doha. Fox News reports air traffic controllers diverted the flight to Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, where a new crew was brought on board to finish the flight to Doha. No official explanation for the death was given, but Al Jazeera reports it was apparently a heart attack. Qatar Airways would say only its main concern remains the comfort and safety of its passengers and staff. Herb Kelleher's legacy of good labor relations at Southwest Airlines continues to pay dividends. Southwest recently announced it wanted to convert some of its orders for the familiar Boeing 737-700 to the 800 variant, which would provide more seats on routes where demand justifies it. That required revising contracts with flight and cabin crew unions, and both sides agreed that it would need to get done by December 1st to meet the deadlines for the order changes. At most airlines these days, that would have been a tall order. But on September 15th, only a month after the discussion started, negotiators for the Transport Workers Union Local 556, representing cabin crews, approved a revised contract. The membership has yet to ratify it, and the union has no details yet on the status of that process. Now SWAPA, the Southwest Airlines Pilots Association, has reached an agreement covering 5,800 pilots and is recommending members approve the agreement in a ratification vote to be held in November. The deal would extend the current contract by 1 year, keeps the pay the same for all 737 pilots regardless of which variant and how many seats, and adds a profit-based raise to the existing 2% raise scheduled for next year and another profit-based raise in 2012. SWAPA President Captain Carl Kowitsky commented, quote, "We share the company's enthusiasm for the added revenue this aircraft can provide. This allows our pilots to take a leadership role in tying our pay to the company's profitability and investing in our future. Now we can focus our resources on the acquisition of AirTran Airways and the transition into one carrier," unquote. Southwest Chief Operating Officer Mike Van de Ven congratulated both unions for, quote, "recognizing the potential long-term benefits associated with adding the 800 to our fleet. We are still evaluating the needs for training, scheduling, aircraft configuration, and other regulatory considerations, but this is an important step in the due diligence process," unquote. By contrast, union workers in France have reportedly sabotaged a pipeline, which supplies fuel to two major airports, in response to a move by French President Nicolas Sarkozy to raise the nation's official retirement age from 60 to 62. AFP News cites officials of the airport management company Trapel in reporting that Orly Airport has about 2 weeks of supply on hand, but Charles de Gaulle Airport could run out of fuel this week. Most of France's refineries have also reportedly been shut down in protest of Sarkozy's plan. The French government has authorized companies to tap emergency reserves, but not its own strategic government stockpiles, at least so far. Up next on ANN, Gulfstream celebrates the 300th G550. Hartzell's new prop opens a new market. And Sikorsky works toward a smoother helicopter. You're listening to Aero News.
Freedom through innovation. It's what led us to develop Cirrus Flying 2.0, the framework for a bold new take on private aviation. And as a result, the gap between the aircraft we produce and those of our competitors continues to widen. Cirrus knows where the personal aircraft industry is headed. We're already there.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for October 18th. I'm Paul Plack. Gulfstream Aerospace announced Friday that the 300th G550 recently rolled out of the plant in Savannah, Georgia, with its airworthiness certificate. That marks the completion of initial manufacturing. The milestone aircraft will be painted in Savannah and finished to customer specs in Brunswick, Georgia, with delivery expected in February. Gulfstream President Joe Lombardo called it a proud day. Quote, "I want to thank our employees for their hard work and dedication in making this possible. Because of the G550's performance, range, and reliability, it continues to be the leader in the ultra-long-range segment, unquote. To be exact, the G550 can fly 6,750 nautical miles at Mach 0.8. The plane was introduced at NBAA 2002. Gulfstream says it will display 5 aircraft at NBAA 2010, which opens this week in and around Atlanta. Hartzell Propeller reports receipt from the FAA of a type certificate for its new advanced composite ASC2 four-bladed propeller. The company says its launch customer for the prop will be announced at NBAA this week. Hartzell says the 93-inch diameter composite props with lightweight aluminum hubs save over 30 pounds compared to an equivalent metal-bladed propeller. The new prop is designed specifically for use on turboprop aircraft. Hartzell Senior VP Mike Disbrow says the prop is the start of an exciting new phase for Hartzell. Quote, "In order to achieve propeller TC approval, the new blades underwent more than a year-long test program that included endurance, fatigue, lightning strike, bird strike, and propeller vibration testing, ultimately achieving certification for an unlimited fatigue life," unquote. Sikorsky Innovations says it has completed rig testing of an HMVS system, short for hub-mounted vibration suppression, designed to eliminate vibration and deliver a smoother helicopter ride. The effort is jointly funded by Sikorsky and the Aviation Applied Technology Directorate. Jim Cagdis, program manager for Sikorsky Advanced Programs, says HMVS, quote, "represents a significant improvement in the control of vibration at its source with less weight than conventional vibration treatments. Combined with our active flap technology, this makes the opportunity for a jet-smooth ride a practical reality. Our plan is to install and test flight this vital technology on a Sikorsky helicopter in the next 12 months," unquote. Research and Engineering VP Mark Miller adds, quote, "vibration takes a toll on crew and passengers as well as the aircraft. With HMVS, occupants will experience less fatigue and enhanced safety. In addition, operating costs will decrease because equipment will last longer in a virtually zero vibration environment," unquote. FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt helped break ground Friday for a new control tower at Oakland International Airport, funded by federal stimulus funds. The $33 million being spent on the tower at Oakland is the FAA's largest single stimulus award. Two towers currently serve Oakland. The older one is 158 feet tall and was built in 1962, but the view of the north end of the field was partially blocked by a 1972 terminal expansion. A second tower was built to resolve that issue. The FAA says replacing two towers with one will improve operations and reduce costs. The tower will include 13,000 square feet of operations area at the base. It will incorporate covered parking and solar panels on the roof to power the tower, which will also use a geothermal heating system and a rainwater storage system. FAA expects to move in sometime in 2013. Regarding the project, U.S. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood observed, quote, "people will be put to work building an environmentally friendly tower that will better serve the airport and the community," unquote. Another $37 million in stimulus funding is being spent on various pavement improvement projects at Bay Area airports. In total, the FAA was given a $1.3 billion stimulus budget to be spent nationally. Still ahead, Lieutenant Arthur Parkhurst is finally back home. The toilet paper terrorist is apprehended. And it's spacecraft. Two separate words in this case. You're listening to Aero News.
Piperjet.
Hypersport.
Piper Match.
Global Expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, October 18th. I'm Paul Plack. A pilot who went missing during World War II was finally given a proper burial Saturday in Xenia, Ohio. According to the Evansville Courier and Press, Army Aviation Lieutenant Arthur Francis Parkhurst was flying a C-47 to deliver radio equipment, rations, and other supplies to anti-Japanese guerrilla forces when he went down on an island in the Philippines. A year later, he was declared killed in action, despite the fact his body had not been found. The Dayton Daily News reports that Parkhurst's brother, now 81, said that a farmer on the island had discovered the remains of the pilot, along with his dog tags. Mitochondrial DNA testing confirmed his identity. The Pentagon says 72,000 service members are still missing from World War II. A lot of things have changed since 9/11. We can wish they hadn't, but they have. And GA pilots need to think ahead a little bit. 60-year-old Warren Saunders of Westwood, New Jersey, planned to drop streamers in school colors over the football field at Westwood Regional High School on game night and decided he needed a trial run. So he practiced by tossing toilet paper from his Cessna 172 last Wednesday afternoon. The problem is the field was in use by soccer players whose moms apparently can't tell the difference between a harmless stunt and a terrorist attack. NorthJersey.com reports Saunders discovered authorities were looking for him and turned himself in last Thursday. He's charged with violating a state law that prohibits low-level acrobatic stunts over populated areas. The maximum penalty is a year in prison and a $1,000 fine, although it seems reasonable to challenge both the definition of acrobatic and the jurisdiction of the state. There is a 2001 state law in New Jersey that allows fines of up to $500 for dropping litter anywhere but in a trash receptacle. Witnesses placed him at 800 to 1,000 feet AGL, and injuries caused by falling toilet paper lack precedent, so it's hard to imagine there's going to be an FAA issue here. Just my opinion, but I have to wonder if part of the reaction might be a case of Saunders' practice being mistaken for pregame taunting by fans of the other team. And finally today, NASA has been sponsoring so many different spacecraft competitions lately, they're not really even news anymore. But this spacecraft competition is different. It's space and craft, two separate words. Specifically, it's an art contest. Etsy, the web-based store with the slogan Buy, Sell, and Live Handmade, has partnered with the space agency for a contest featuring art inspired by NASA programs. Two-dimensional art such as paintings, photos, or even computer-generated art are eligible, as are three-dimensional works such as sculpture. The connection to specific NASA missions and programs obviously doesn't have to be too literal. One of the recent entries pictured on the Etsy website is a pair of, quote, "Live Long and Prosper Moab Man Petroglyph Earrings," unquote, featuring a recreation of the rock etching character interpreted as an alien. You can enter now through November 2nd and get more details at etsy.com/NASA. Among the 3D artwork allowed in the rules is wearable art. Let's try and keep it in good taste. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, it's the Best of Bob. CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves addresses two listener emails, one relating to a near mid-air collision. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.